And welcome to the WWE Raw After Royal Rumble After Show. We're bringing the Intercontinental and Tag Team title matches. We have Elimination Chamber qualifying matches. And you want table flips? We got table flips happening now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
You know we had to. This had to happen. Yes! And welcome to your WWE wrestling coverage here at AfterBuzz TV. This is the Raw After Royal Rumble, and I am Markia McCarty. I finally introduced myself this time.
You remembered!
I finally
remembered who you were.
I did, finally. Thank goodness. And next to me, this man has put people in the street preacher around the world. You put together some wrestling initials. This man has wrestled or worked for them. Next to me is True Hobo.
Yep. Happy to be here. Royal Rumble last night was always my favorite event because it gives you that feeling, the real energy that anything can and will happen, and I feel last night that it did not disappoint. I feel that it actually capitalized on that feeling, and something special did happen. And now it's the Raw after the Royal Rumble, and the road to WrestleMania has officially begun as of last night. So here we are paving that very road that we are heading down right now, and it's I don't know, off to a hot start.
We're paving it with bodies.
Yeah.
That's what that road to WrestleMania.
Pretty
that's
strong
happening.
Raw tonight. I think it's going to lead to some interesting stuff down the line here.
I think it definitely has to, especially with it coming off of that Royal Rumble. I mean, the Women's Royal Rumble. Jacqueline! It's like they fabulously surprised me. And actually, we'll just go right into Raw because, of course, any Raw after pay-per-view, they definitely take us down that highlight trail. So we'll be able to cover a lot of really good stuff. So we were at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. And our commentators tonight were at Corey Graves, Michael Cole, and Jonathan Coachman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks for filling in, Booker T.
Yes.
What,
thanks
are you
for
kidding?
Filling in?
He was here for like... How long was he at that desk?
He was there for hot minute.
It was a good amount of time.
Honestly,
if you're watching live, please comment with how much time Booker T spent on that desk. Saying he was filling in is a dramatic understatement.
Yeah, that was just one of those things that was, I was not expecting for them to say that. I was expecting for them to say, you know, we have the coach in, he's gonna take over for a while for Booker T, and maybe they'll switch back or whatnot. I didn't expect thanks for sitting in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess he wasn't a real member of the commentary team. If I were him, I'd be a little pissed about that. But, you know, we're going to let them sort it out. That's their business.
Yeah, and thank you, chat room. AJ0314, he was there since June. So looking at almost seven
months.
Yeah, that's a...
yeah, thanks for filling in.
Yeah, since the shakeup, they're saying. And also, happy Rusev Day.
Yes.
I love people saying happy Rusev Day. So with the WWE Raw After Rumble, we start off with Stephanie McMahon in the ring. And she has a lot to say, most of it, about the Women's Royal Rumble. Of course, we had Maria Menounos. She announced AfterBuzz TV could not exist without Maria Menounos. She is our Empress of Tomorrow,
yes.
So to speak, for this. She's our Stephanie McMahon. She's everything wrapped up in one. And that was pretty awesome for her to be part of that. And then because she's all of this.
I mean, she's had her place in WWE's history.
Yes.
So I think it was fitting. I mean, she's always a fan. I'm just glad she was able to carve out time and make this happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, she would be at every event if she had it her way, but there are always time constraints. I was lucky enough to see her at the most recent Raw before the new year. Mm-hmm. She was there. She was then there in Philadelphia last night at the Royal Rumble, and she made her presence felt. And I think most everybody was satisfied with the job that she did. I think she did a pretty good job. And Yeah.
Yeah, I think she rocked it. I mean, she's Maria Menounos. How do you not? She's an adjective.
Yeah.
But Stephanie McMahon had a lot to say, mainly for spoilers, I guess. Oscar won.
It's not at this point. If you're watching this, you've already messed up. Go watch the Royal Rumble. Go watch the whole show. You don't have to watch the pre-show, but at least watch the main shows. Mm. Watch the Rumbles themselves.
Yeah, or, the highlights if you just don't have time to watch the full Rumble. So Asuka did win the first Women's Royal Rumble. So Stephanie McMahon discusses that, and then also that there will be a Women's Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
So I'm on board. I have no problem with this. How do you feel about that, Hobo?
It's very interesting to me. The chamber is a very large structure. Usually in the chamber are the largest wrestlers. Mm. And in this instance now we've got women in the Elimination Chamber, and that I worry for their well-being. I do. Because it is not a very forgiving structure.
Well, neither was the steel cage, but they weathered that just fine.
Right, but the steel cage allows the inhabitants of the ring to sort of stay in the ring. What the Elimination Chamber has, the cage doesn't, is a steel floor on at least a good percentage of the surface. And landing on that surface really takes it out of you because it does not have any give. And where... chain link has a little bit of give. The chains that comprise the walls of the chamber have next to no give, and that's a high gauge of chain, and it really takes it out of you. So while I believe this is great, it's a great step for them. I can't feel but a little bit worried about how everyone's going to fare. I just hope everybody makes it out alive. Yeah. And nobody gets too badly hurt, because you will get hurt. This is wrestling. It's not ballet. You're gonna get hurt. It's gonna suck. That's wrestling.
Yeah. Well, I've only seen the Elimination Chamber from the outside. Never actually stood inside of one, so I'm going to take your word on how incredibly tough that is.
At WrestleMania, I do believe they give you the chance, and I've seen it, and it's...
I know I would have had a chance at access, but the line was just a bit too long, and I had some other interviews I had to do.
And it's always a good photo opportunity. Mm. And once you step inside and you have a look at it, you go, "Oh, this is bad. This is vastly more dangerous than I had anticipated." It's a bad place, and I'm happy that they get a chance to shine on this stage. I just wish the stage weren't as dangerous as it is.
All right. Well, announcement is Ronda Rousey. I mean, if you didn't see that,
been asleep.
I'm
glad
it's everywhere.
You woke up from your coma.
Oh, yes. So Stephanie McMahon introduces her as Rowdy Ronda Rousey, and with her T-shirt, it does.
Wearing Roddy's jacket. That was his.
Yeah, that Colt, and the T-shirt. His Piper all day.
Son Colt gave that to Ronda backstage. Mm. And I've had a chance to feel that jacket. The jacket itself weighs like 50 pounds. I'm not kidding. And I asked Rod about it. And he went, "Why is this coat so heavy?" And he says, "Well, I got $10,000 and a passport in it at all times, so I'm ready to go."
Whoa.
He was something else. And he will... His influence is still being felt today, obviously.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I still every now and again go back to They Live or that one alley scene. So Ronda Rousey will be, this is her life now. That is a quote that she has said for WWE Raw. So we have Ronda, and we're going to see how
she's
that is, like, moving forward.
Actually contracted, which is an interesting thing.
Yeah, that brings a whole new thing to light. Because if you remember back with the Mae Young Classic, I keep on wanting to say Mae West, the Mae Young Classic,
no.
When they had the Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen.
Yeah.
And that just brings a whole new light to that. So, wow. Well, okay. We've got Ronda. So, but moving on with the night, we have our first Elimination Chamber match. It is the last man standing match, and I want you to really pay attention to that term, last man standing. And it's Kane versus Braun Strowman. Ooh, this match.
It was a hot start. I honestly, I did not expect this match to start off the wrestling on tonight's Raw. I thought maybe we'll kind of dip a toe in. We'll have a good contest to start the night. Maybe a one-on-one, you know, Elias and Matt Hardy to start things off. Immediately go into Braun Strowman versus Kane in a last man standing.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, all right, we are.
Monster versus Machine.
Waiting around, man.
We're just jumping into it. So, yeah, Elimination Chamber match, last man standing. You will hear that term a lot when you watch this. I mean, all sorts of things. I mean, road cases being smashed, steel chairs being, you know, meeting people's spines.
I mean, they didn't even wait to come back from commercial.
No.
Braun Strowman came out, we went to a break, we come back, and already they're just throwing hands and messing stuff up. They work their way into the audience, and it just gets uglier. It just progressively gets worse. And then you hear on commentary, Coach goes, I don't want to alarm you guys, but they're here. And everyone goes, we should probably go.
The announcers have to, you know, get up and get out of town because Braun and Kane are over near the announcer table, and Braun goes, I don't know how to say it, full-on dumpster truck, maybe a full, you know, I'm going to eat this ambulance, you know, I'm just going to go full Braun, and so people get angry, and they flip tables. Braun flipped the table that was underneath the announcer's table, and the entire thing goes right onto Kane.
Right. It's the announcer's stage. There's the stage, there's the entrance for Monday Night Raw, and next to that is a smaller stage where the all of the equipment is that sort of make it possible for people to actually listen to commentary at home on their televisions. And Braun Strowman takes all of it, the entire thing, and just dumps it onto Kane.
The entire thing.
Yeah. That was a moment and a statement. I mean, obviously, tempers were a little bit heated from last night.
A little.
Just a little bit. A little bit. And I think Strowman decided to put a definite period into this.
Yeah.
This is now over. Period.
I mean, think about it at this point. Well, I guess just don't put this man in a dumpster. You know, like, don't put this man in a garbage truck. Because, what, grappling hook, and then you have, like, this full thing with the announcer table. He doesn't know how to stop. He goes from zero to crazy.
Yeah. No, he's got no temper. But what actually worries me more is Mark Donica, our NXT member, was with me while we were watching some of Monday Night Raw. He's checking his phone, and on Twitter they say that Kane was taken to a medical facility and that he left the medical facility of his own volition and nobody knows where he is.
Like Jason would.
Right, right.
Like he Jason does.
Vanished. Mm. So I dare say this is actually not over.
Yeah.
This may just be sort of looming somewhere in the distance. Kane will come back, much like Braun has this many times. I mean, Kane has his own lore about him, much like Braun does, where you keep thinking that you've put Kane away, and he's done, and he's finished. He always finds a way back. These two are a lot like each other.
Yes, Jason versus Jason.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And they can look each other in the eye. And that's, I mean, it's, you don't want to get between them.
No, not ever.
No.
Unless you like to be smashed like a pancake.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't even think it would be that bad, because they'd be battling each other. You would try to get involved, and they would both, you know, break you in half and then continue to fight each other. It's like Godzilla fighting Mechagodzilla.
Yeah. Eat you for a snack, for breathers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very excited about the Kane versus Braun Strowman match. But before that, when Stephanie McMahon was talking in the ring, she did set up a match between Asuka and Sasha. And Asuka got on the mic. She English is her second, probably a third language. I think it's either second or third language, something like that. So she does address the crowd in Japanese, but you get it because it's Asuka.
It's the international language of battle.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because we get inflection, we get meaning.
She gestures very largely. So you understand more or less what she's saying, but what she says in English is the only thing that matters. She will be champion, and no one is ready for Asuka.
Exactly. And she is going to WrestleMania. We all know that look and that point. And then we go on to Braun backstage with Kurt. And Kurt is yelling at Braun. He's got that temperature is just rising in his face. And he's like, the whole world is watching. Give me a break. Basically, he's just saying, like, just give me one week. 1 week, Braun, where you don't do this. And Braun goes, you know what? You're right, Kurt. You're right. I should have done more. And he keeps on repeating that it was last man standing. So basically he took
he said, I did my job.
There he is. He was barking at the hand that feeds him.
I mean, not really.
Yeah.
Because Kurt fired him once. Mm. Let us not forget. That was not very long ago.
Yeah,
Kurt fired him, and then he proceeded to destroy everything.
He had to take it back.
It isn't the hand that feeds. It is the animal that demands feeding. And what are you going to do? Are you going to sort of sit back and let this creature devour you, or are you going to give it what it wants? This is a really bad circumstance for Kurt Angle to be in. He should never have allowed himself to be put in a subversive position to Braun Strowman, who can now demand literally anything he wants and know that it's not going to have any consequence at all on him whatsoever.
Yeah, they probably should have just tranked him, and they never did. Probably should have just done that.
Well, you know, trank guys are expensive, I hear.
There you go.
And to hire one costs a lot of money.
Sure. In the chat room, Angie Harris, shout out to her little sister. She's 15 years old today, and she's watching our show. She likes the show.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thanks for watching.
Name is Taralyn.
Taralyn. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Taralyn. And welcome to wrestling.
Yeah.
So continuing on, we are in the ring with Elias. You know, and Elias, he's a man. And a ring, the spotlight, and a guitar. And he just wants to know if everybody knows what WWE stands for. And that's Walking with Elias. So he sings about the road to WrestleMania. He's got a really good Tom Brady burn. Philly is not feeling it. But the rest of the song is deleted by Matt Hardy. So we have an Elimination Chamber qualifying match, Matt Hardy versus Elias. And the winner of this Elimination Chamber match, obviously, will go up against Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship.
Right, it's a qualifier to get into the match itself.
Indeed.
And it's always interesting to have a match like that in the position that it is before WrestleMania.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, there's two ways to get to WrestleMania. Number one, you actually win the Royal Rumble. Very minimal
nice
odds.
Nice straight shot there.
Yeah It's a little bumpy. Or number two, you beat the current champion and you as champion go on to defend at WrestleMania, which is not exactly a small order, but Elimination Chamber there's only six of you, where the Royal Rumble there's 30 of you. So if you're smart enough and you've got the instincts to survive, you may be able to beat the champion and go on to WrestleMania as champion yourself. It's more difficult than it sounds.
Yes, indeed.
If you're going to do it, it may as well be in the Elimination Chamber.
Which is really good that we have that coming up in about another 4 weeks, and that's going to be pretty exciting. So this particular match, Elias is... you know, he's got some stake in this match. He was eliminated by John Cena from the Royal Rumble. Still kind of feeling that. So it's him versus Matt Hardy. How did you feel about this actual match, Hobo?
It felt pretty good to me. It's interesting to see Elias actually wrestle with intent.
Mm.
Because it's not really his forte. He's the Drifter. He's sort of dropped the moniker, but he still wrestles in kind of the same way. He's a bit of a brawler. But then you put him in there with Matt Hardy, who is a head case and a half.
Yes.
You cannot have your standard wrestling match.
No, he's a performance artist that's also really amazingly great at getting those wrestling moves in, too.
And he has giant teeth.
okay.
So it's really interesting to see Elias take control. He's got to take control of this match. And he did a pretty good job targeting the arm of Matt Hardy. But Matt Hardy, he does not stop.
No.
Years of wrestling at the level that he has, being one of the most charismatic daredevils in professional wrestling, he doesn't have a stop. So it takes a lot to actually get him in a place where he's, you know, malleable, controllable, maybe beatable.
Yeah, and it seems like Elias actually capitalized on somebody else already getting Matt Hardy into that headspace, because there was a distraction by a Bray Wyatt video, you know,
It was enough.
Because
he's the only person who can get in Matt Hardy's headspace.
And there you go. And that was enough, because Elias lands a huge boot to Hardy's face. I mean, you felt that in your living room. And then he did the Drift away for the win.
Yeah.
So, and then it all ends with a video, a giant head of Bray Wyatt laughing at Matt Hardy, just prone in the ring.
This was really interesting, especially with how things went in the Rumble last night. Having both, you know, Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy teaming up for a split second and then eliminating each other. It really begs the question of, what is their relationship to one another? Where is this going to go? Because they wrestled each other last week, and Bray Wyatt was the better.
Yeah, during the 25th anniversary, which Stephanie McMahon also went over during her opening sequence. And with that particular match, it was in the Manhattan Center, one of the, three matches that was in the Manhattan Center.
Televised
in the Manhattan Center. And yeah, I was extremely surprised that Matt Hardy ended up getting pinned by Bray Wyatt. But with this match between him and Elias, I'm less surprised, because with what you were saying, Bray Wyatt is in Matt Hardy's headspace. So if they continue with that and make it subtle, I'm okay with that.
Right. But looking at Bray Wyatt and trying to understand what he wants with Matt Hardy is difficult to truly grasp. He beat him very cleanly. Well, as cleanly as you can get. Mm-hmm. Last week, pinned him to the mat. So what more is there for him to gain from beating Hardy again?
Mm.
Why would he need to do this? What is the motivation here? Why does he keep chasing Matt Hardy?
Yeah, I guess we would need that answer to become invested in the feud. And so hopefully we get that.
We need more than laughter to truly get behind it. At this point, have more.
At this point, we need more. Otherwise, just let it go and bury that hatchet for these two, burying that hatchet. And then we can get some more promo videos of Matt Hardy and the drones. Send in the drones.
Hopefully.
But speaking of videos, we have The Miz doing a selfie video.
This is a new trend tonight.
This is a new thing.
Raw was a lot of rebranding, different graphics, a lot of different stuff. I think we're going to have to update ours.
I think we're going to have
to. Come to think of it.
Maybe put some Twitter-like stuff
for ours. Yeah, but they're doing a lot more social media stuff. I don't know how permanent this will be, because social media is changing all the time. WWE has tried to be on the cutting edge of social media for a very long time, but they haven't done the best job. They got behind tout.
Yeah, there's always a learning curve with things,
right,
I suppose.
Right, and it's tough to actually, instead of just following the way of trying to make your own, which is what they've been trying to do, now I think they've just kind of are sitting back and going, we're not going to try and figure out where it's going. Let's just follow it. But at the same time, now you've eliminated interviewers. We only had, one in-ring interview tonight. And then a backstage interview. And that was it. The rest of it was on the phone. And I'm not sure if I like it myself.
Oh, you mean like the...
Yeah, the
selfie videos.
And
yeah.
I'm partial to somewhat more old school style.
I kind of like the selfie video. It made it more personal. I guess it's because, you know, you look at Snapchat, you look at Instagram stories and the whatnot.
I'm not really into that. So that's where I'm at. I'm all the way back here. I sort of let people who aren't me enjoy what they enjoy. I don't get into it.
Indeed. Well, for Miz's video, basically, he says about how he's the 8-time Intercontinental Champ. John Cena's not. John Cena might be owed a rematch. Reigns is not owed a rematch. Tom Brady.
Yes.
And that leads into The Miz versus Roman Reigns, and it is an Intercontinental Championship match. So they go into this. Well, Roman Reigns, during the Royal Rumble, he eliminated 4 people, including Rollins. So, and apparently lasted 21 minutes. Yeah.
Well, that was just a great moment.
Mm.
He eliminated Rollins, and then he and Rollins had a moment like, yeah, I'd have done it to you too. No hard feelings.
I see where you're coming from. Right. Wish I got you first.
Right.
But,
they know each other so well that there's really no hard feelings in the moment. It's like if it's going to be anybody who eliminates me, I'm kind of glad it was you.
It's like, there you go. So with this match, previously Roman Reigns won the Royal Rumble in that same building.
Was it last year?
I thought it was a couple of years ago.
I don't know. I get in that a lot.
Yeah, all the years mixed together at
a
certain point.
No bleeds.
So for this, I felt Reigns was pretty heavy-handed. You know, dominated the early part of the match. You know, he was coming in strong with it to the point where Miz Taraj. Of course, they tried to come in to mess everything up, and he got so incensed, grabbed a steel chair, was going after them, was about to disqualify himself from the match by going after The Miz. That would have been really satisfying. You know, I kind of wish that he had just hit him.
If I were Miz, I would have been begging for it. You don't want it, but you know in the back of your mind, yes, do it now. Feel the satisfaction of hitting me now, because you'll never get the belt. It's true evil villain trickery at its best.
There you go. Thank you, Marie Annette, in the chat room. It was 2015. 2015,
okay.
You won it.
It was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
This was a really good match. The crowd really got into it.
Yeah.
It was very back and forth. Roman Reigns, as you said, in the early goings, had it cinched in. But he didn't hold on to it for that long. Mm. And it was The Miz running him into the post that really changed the trajectory of this match. And it allowed Miz to really get in the driver's seat for a good portion of this match. It was Roman Reigns trying to counter-wrestle The Miz, as Miz was the vast aggressor. Even without the Miztourage, he was the one who was actually in control. And once things started to get out of hand for The Miz again, the Miztourage came in. Roman Reigns lost sight of The Miz. And it was not long after that they got the better of him, and it was a roll-up. With the tights in hand, that secured the victory for The Miz.
Yeah, definitely. With The Miz, I mean, he was having a good time. He got a kick happy with the it kicks, you know, had that. He was even going for the turnbuckle, if you remember from last week, the 25th anniversary. He ended up winning because he got that turnbuckle pad off.
And we had no idea.
Replay, and it's like, whoa, nicely done. He got caught this time, but... You know, ultimately, it didn't matter. I like the figure four in the middle of the ring.
The it kicks. Roman catches into the victory roll through, catch into the figure four, and Miz has to scramble to make sure that Reigns doesn't get to the ropes and break the figure four.
Yeah, and then it was a really nice reverse, and, you know, Miz...
Both
just...
men hurting badly from that figure four and the reversal. For the rest of the match, they were walking around basically on one leg apiece.
Indeed, but Miz retains the title. He is still the Intercontinental Champion. And that brings us to our next match. It's The Revival versus Rhino and Heath Slater, so Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson. And something that I enjoyed with this is that there was like a Rush Hour-like moment that Wilder and Dawson had on the outside of the ring where they're like, okay, you go this way and I'll go this way. And it was, they weren't playing it for comedy because, you know, they're not comedic guys. They're not here for flips, you know. Yeah.
No flips, just
no
fists.
But I kind of like that moment.
They understand what they're doing better than a lot of people because they know that all eyes are on them. There is a standard that they have set on purpose, and it is a very real thing to them and to everybody else. They are the standard in tag team wrestling. So when you watch them, you go, okay, how is this going to play out? And you've got, on the other side of the ring, you've got Heath Slater and Rhino.
Mm, 300-plus pounds, Rhino. He actually looked pretty good today.
He looks great every day. He has managed to keep himself in such tremendous shape.
I was very impressed with him doing a little bit of flying action when he climbed to the mid rope and delivered some hurt onto, I believe it was Dawson.
Yeah.
I was just like, whoa, don't be on the other side of that.
Falling with style. It's getting hit with the refrigerator.
He is just a
gargantuan man.
Yes. Yes, he is. He's four people smuggled in a rhino coat.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. There's just four people in that singlet.
It's like, yeah, if I could fan casts, you know, Marvel or like Spider-Man villains, he would definitely still be Rhino.
Right.
That's just one of those things.
Yeah.
Rhino ends up being pinned, courtesy of the Shatter Machine. Of course, we saw that happening. But after that defeat, Wilder and Dawson get on the mic and they do their spiel. They say a number of things. It's Scott and Scott and Dash. So
they believe very firmly in what they do.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Believe in it as being the best, and that there is nobody who does it better because they are students of the game. They are students of history, and they feel from studying the greats of the past, they will be the greatest in the future. It's hard to disagree.
And speaking of past greats, CBS Sports broke the news about the latest inductees into the Hall of Fame, and that is the Dudley Boys. And we got a lovely video package complete with testimonials by WWE superstars on the awesomeness that is the Dudley Boys.
I believe they're the most decorated tag team of all time.
Yeah, I mean, it was New Day were the ones that ended up breaking their streak for tag team champions.
Yes.
Yeah, but before that, no one.
Yeah, honestly, this was a long time coming. They could have waited a little bit longer. I would say that, granted, Bubba Ray is getting closer to retirement, and Devon actually works on the production side at WWE. So they pretty much hung it up. But, I mean, not last night.
No, not indeed. Not at the 25th anniversary either.
Yeah.
You know, no, they brought the Dudley. So then we have another one of those selfie videos that Hobo also enjoys. And here we have, it was Finn Balor with the Balor Club. And Finn lasted 57 minutes and 38 seconds. He came out number one. Number one, and he lasted almost an hour. Well, basically, he goes on to say that he lasted until Cena, and he's not only stepping up to Cena, he's stepping over him. And that takes us to Renee backstage with Sasha. This is before the Asuka-Sasha match. And Sasha says that Asuka may have made history last night, but now it's her turn. Sasha entered number one and lasted 54 minutes and change. I'm sorry, Baylor came out as number two. I confused that with Sasha, who was number
Rusev
one.
Rusev was number one.
Yes,
last night.
Rusev, because happy Rusev
and
day.
And he lasted quite a long time himself. Not the length of Balor,
not the length of Finn, but still. Yes, Finn was number two. Thank you, chat room. So, and then we have the Asuka versus Sasha match. It's never a bad time watching Asuka do anything in the ring. And I liked this back and forth with her and Sasha. It's like Asuka is poetry in motion when it comes to that, but it's like she's so dangerous. It's like watching a panther or some kind of really huge, slinky, dangerous animal in a ring.
It's beautiful.
It's
but
absolutely
it can kill
beautiful.
You.
But yeah. Yeah, but it's also like, I would never get into that ring with her, ever. But I will watch the heck out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, Sasha put up the good fight. There was one instance in there that I'm still aching just from seeing it. It looked like an aborted suicide dive, or
was
it was
aborted? No, she was caught.
It was horrific.
I mean, before we get into that,
but yeah, that goes.
I want to look at Sasha tonight and last night and how she's sort of coming back to her roots, so to speak. Mm. In NXT, she was vicious. She did what it took to be the best.
Yes.
I mean, really, no holds barred. She did whatever it took. And I feel that she sort of put that on hold coming now for a while to the Raw brand. She is a crowd favorite. Mm-hmm. And she sort of leaned into that. She's like, yeah, I know you guys like me. So she's been wrestling more as a crowd favorite, wrestling for them and not so much for herself. But I feel last night and tonight she is wrestling primarily for herself.
I definitely felt it in this one.
And with the elimination of Bayley last night.
Oh,
everybody knows that their relationship is a good relationship, but Sasha is, without a doubt, the alpha of the two. And she
I don't think anybody would dispute that.
She does with Bayley what she feels is necessary for herself. Eliminating Bayley, I feel, was now it's starting to set a tone. Because that was last night, and now tonight she comes out, she is going to fight and beat Asuka. And it's not about anybody in the arena.
No, it's about Sasha. Her. It's about the boss.
She feels that she set a bar last night with the Royal Rumble lasting the longest out of any other woman. And in the inaugural Women's Royal Rumble, she set a really high bar. Mm. Anybody coming after her is going to have to try and beat that 54 minutes, and they're going to have a hell of a time doing it.
That's a long time to be in there with, like, I mean, these athletes. And then all of them realizing that this is the first one. Everybody's going to look back at this one. Everybody's going to judge this one. And it's like, yes, like you were saying, wrestling for the crowd, wrestling for the WWE Universe. But you do that for yourself,
yes,
first and foremost. And I felt that. I felt that.
And she wanted to beat Asuka for her.
Yeah.
There's no gold on the line. There's nothing to be gained except for the fact that Asuka is now number two to Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks would usurp her and become number one, longest run in the Women's Royal Rumble, and now beating Asuka. That is what she wants for her, not for anyone else. So she went out there tonight, and she put it all on the line. She probably gave one of the best matches of her life, took chances that maybe she shouldn't have taken, and paid dearly for them. She went for a dive, and Asuka, being so vicious and so quick, was able to kick her in the head.
Yes.
Before she made landfall.
Yes.
And as a result of that, tumbled to the ground in a scene that was bone-shakingly
brutal
and vicious.
It was like, oh, so Sasha got killed tonight. That's what it was. It was just like, oh, wow. And it's like, and then after she had gotten up and we're, you know, back into the ring with things, Asuka landing, it was just a frightening knee to the face. It was just like spinning
she
back
her
fists.
Nose in. It started with that knee to the face and the back fist, and then the back kick.
Armbar, like in the middle of the ring. I mean, it was.
But Sasha got her back when
she did.
She went for the rear view again to the ropes.
That's it.
And Sasha low bridged her. She went right the hell out.
Right through the ring,
yeah,
and then hit the apron on the way out. So. Yeah, they had that back and forth. And it seemed that every time that Sasha was trying to put her in the bank statement, Asuka was like, oh, I know this song. And she changed the beat on her. She knew how to throw her hip out.
She is
so
dangerous. The strikes and the submissions. She was able to counter the bank statement multiple times. And then the full bank statement at the end, the backstabber with the crossface, counters that into the full Asuka lock with body scissors, hands connected.
Yes.
No, that's a small thing, but it is the most important thing. When you bring your hand around somebody's throat and then you snake your arm under theirs and connect their hands, there is no way to break it. That's how Bob Backlund killed many men. Oof. This is how you finish a match. And Asuka finished it.
Yeah, and Sasha tapped out really quick.
Yeah, and yeah. It was over.
It was over.
And Asuka was left sore but smiling, that sickeningly sweet smile.
Yes.
And Sasha Banks with a tear running down her eye because she knows she brought her absolute best, but it was not good enough.
Her best right now.
True.
She will learn. She's learned already.
Tonight
from this.
She brought her best, and her best tonight was not enough to beat Asuka. Nobody is ready for Asuka.
There you go. And we're going on to our next match. Remember, we had the Intercontinental match earlier, but this one is going to be it's another title match. It's Cesaro versus Sheamus, Cesaro and Sheamus, so Cesaro versus Titus Worldwide, which is Titus O'Neil and Apollo Crews, and that is a tag team match. You know it's the Mac Militant coming to get it on. For any of our iTunes people, Hobo was getting down.
Yeah, feeling it.
So yes, so as you know, Cesaro are the new tag team title holders because they went full out on Jordan and Rollins over the Royal Rumble. Jordan, he had a date with a pole, and it didn't go well.
Got his bell rung.
He got rammed into that post.
Head bounced and stuck. That was the worst part to me.
It was that.
And then his momentum was such that his head bounced off a couple of times.
Mm.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah.
If you're able to maneuver your body, you can get a glancing blow, which is actually better.
No, that was
but
a
his
solid
whole body weight and momentum hit. Went right into it, and it shook him.
Yeah. So basically, with the Royal Rumble match, the bar just kind of tenderized Rollins after that, and they landed the
There's
belts.
There's no way to win a 2-on-1 against Sheamus and Cesaro.
They're just too good. Well, they're too good as a tag team.
Too and
it's
hard.
Like them. Wow,
even if
they
you
work
are
so
good,
well together.
They will wear you down as a team. Now, individually, yeah, they're bad. But as a team, you don't have enough. You don't have what it takes to survive them.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Titus and Apollo Crews also didn't have what it took to survive them, despite a number of strong moves, you know, like with Titus. I mean,
Titus's power is it's second to none. Mm. But then Apollo's power on top of that, it really makes them a very formidable team. I feel that it was very much Apollo holding this team together tonight.
Oh, okay, I could see that.
And even though he had a few missteps, let's say he busted out a few things tonight that we hadn't seen before. Standing shooting star press.
Yeah.
I mean, it is very impressive. What he's capable of doing is very impressive. But it occurs to me that he lacks a killer instinct. And I think that's what he needs more than anything. He's just the next level. Because right. Sheamus and Cesaro have that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll take any opening. They know your weakness, or they'll make a weakness and then exploit it.
And that's what they did.
Yeah, and they ended up winning. They pinned Apollo Crews. Bar retained.
They threw him into the post.
Yes.
Again, like you said, creating that opening, creating the weakness, and then the double team. I don't know if they have a name for that, but it's the white noise times two.
Right.
And that was it.
Yeah, it basically looks like Sheamus is like, oh, I'm going to go to the playground with my new friend.
Yeah.
And Cesaro's like, let me join.
Let me help you with that.
I got this. So, and then after that, so we have, it was like a little thing after the Women's Royal Rumble match. There were a number of highlights and recaps that were happening all with tonight. Basically, it was Ronda Rousey doing her WWE debut and how you saw that Asuka didn't want any of that handshake. Love that. Love that. This dangerous
Stephanie
Panther.
McMahon herself almost didn't accept. It's like maybe she's gonna hurt me, but no, she's keeping it all business right now. She's not getting paid for this tonight. If she hurts you, she's not going to make any money. So I think she's gonna stow it for now.
Yeah. So just you know, separate that and put them in their respective corners. So, but then our main event for tonight, we have Finn Balor.
I know. Tough game for you tonight.
It really is. I'm just not hitting it tonight. Maybe I need to drink more water. Versus John Cena. And this is also an Elimination Chamber qualifying match. So, but something like right before this, 205 Live, they, like you were saying, with they're doing more social media aspects things with WWE Raw. And they had 205 Live doing Twitter call outs for a general manager, you know, because as we know, Enzo Amore is no longer with the company. And you know that is a an opportunity for the next person, and I think a general manager of 205 Live would be a really good move. So there were a number of callouts. The one that stuck out for me was Drew Gulak putting Vicky Guerrero out there.
Drew Gulak has
excuse me.
He has been putting a lot of people in the spotlight for who he would choose. I don't know if he's got the clout or the rub to actually make this happen because he's put a lot of names out there.
Mm.
I mean, my favorite was X-Pac, Sean Waltman. I think
he
would actually make a very good general manager.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, one of the people to sort of pioneer the style that we see today in cruiserweight wrestling, he was, as the 1-2-3 kid, one of the very first to do all that sort of thing on that level. So I think, he would be a great person to have sort of steering the ship of 205 and allowing a lot of these younger guys to learn from his experience.
Yeah, to learn and put a different kind of spotlight on 205 Live.
Yeah.
You know, they've come a long way since their debut, and it just seems like it's just on the edge to then be able to just knock it over just a little bit more for it to really get into the limelight.
Well, they've had some challenges recently with their roster, but it's just, like you said, it's an opportunity for others to step up. Whenever there's an opening that's made, there are other people who are willing and able and hungry enough to step right into that role and make that their own. So, like, just allow sort of nature to take its course and allow people to step up and see if they can actually test themselves to the level that is WWE television.
Yeah. And those that don't know, X-Pac does have a show on AfterBuzz TV. So it's 1-2-3-60, and
yep.
I believe it's Wednesdays.
Wednesdays.
It does Wednesdays. So, yeah, check that out. So for this actual match, like getting into the match, so 16-time champion John Cena, he was eliminated by Nakamura. No. Spoiler.
Shinsuke Nakamura won
the Men's Royal Rumble.
Yes, and Asuka won the Women's Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Which, together, that's quite an image for the company.
Yeah.
Two Japanese icons actually headlining WrestleMania this year.
Yeah, all I need is some Kairi Sane in there somewhere as announcer in the back room
and
or
I'm
something.
I'm wearing my New Japan shirt today because New Japan tickets went on sale for Strong Style Evolved in Long Beach. So that's been all the buzz today on my social medias.
All the buzz on my social media has been the Black Panther premiere, which is going on. It's probably just about done at this point. Yeah. So, but yes, for this particular match, I mean, it was John Cena versus Finn Balor.
It was the past versus the present. I sort of feel was the feeling of this match. I mean, the crowd in Philadelphia, they are not as brotherly as
they're aggressive. They're an aggressive crowd.
What?
How
dare you?
Yeah. I mean, some of the chants there was a Let's Go Cena sucks, which that happens anyway, but there were some other chants.
There's a lot of a-holes in Philadelphia, and they're proud of that. They love that they're a-holes.
Mm-hmm.
And they project that onto this match and onto John Cena in particular, who I don't know if it was the crowd that was taking it out of him, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was. But I think he was sort of feeling his age tonight against a much faster Finn Balor.
Yeah.
He's quick, he's strong, he's very fluid, and he's hard to catch. I was actually glad to see that this match started off with some real wrestling.
Yeah, they were getting with the grappling. They were going into like Roman Reckon, Roman. You know what? I'm giving
Greco-Roman.
Up. I'm giving up on today.
Well, Greco-Roman
today, today is done. Today is canceled.
A little late to cancel.
Greco-Roman like techniques
it was
were going
John.
On.
John is not a wrestling novice. He knows he was trained here in California at UPW. He knows how to control body parts. But against a guy like Finn Balor, who is so much quicker and is harder to catch, sometimes a punch to the face is just easier than trying to control what is almost an uncontrollable force. And that was sort of what allowed John to get an early edge, was just simply punching Finn Balor in the face. Good thing, bad thing, that's up to interpretation.
Well, you know, it worked.
It did for the moment.
It did work for the moment. I mean, I'm surprised and then also not surprised that Cena won, because Finn was doing such a great showing. It was, I think what you said was perfect, where it was older meets younger, like contemporary. And you could see it.
It was John's face told the story.
Yeah.
By the end of it, he won, but you could see him asking himself, "How much longer can I keep this up? How much longer can I keep fighting the hands of time, and actually admit that I'm getting older and I have to take shortcuts, and that this is not something I can do forever." He's in great shape. But time wears on us all, and I'm absolutely sure it hasn't skipped over John Cena. He's feeling it just like anybody else would.
Yeah, time gets us all. But John Cena wins by did a super AA from the ropes. Cena gets a pin. Cena wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's going into the Elimination Chamber. But, I mean, what a match. I'm sure that's also a thought that entered his mind. I could barely beat Finn Balor in a ring. Now I have to beat five other guys in a steel structure. I don't want to play this game anymore. I'm tired of this.
Yeah. Perhaps back to Hollywood for some
things. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see how this pans out. I mean, he could very well become champion and then defend as champion at WrestleMania against whoever else.
Yeah, well, I like our wrestlers out in Hollywood, so I have no problem.
Now it's okay. Things have changed
now
a little
good.
Bit in the last, let's say, 10 years.
Indeed. Well, that was WWE Raw after Royal Rumble, for our after show here for AfterBuzz TV wrestling coverage. And Hobo, put yourself over.
Let's see. I am the True Hobo on Twitter and Instagram. Soapbox Car TV is where I put all of my videos. You want to watch me wrestle other people? That's where you can do it. What have I got coming up? Well, let's see. Wednesday, there's the NXT after show. We do that right after NXT airs live, so catch us there. And I'm trying to think of any matches. Just stick to Twitter for any announcements that I have to make.
Yeah, I'm Markeia McCarty. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markeia McCarty, MarkeiaMccarty. You can also catch me on Marvel Movie News. That's Tuesday, so tomorrow at 2 o'clock. That'll be on Popcorn Talk. That's our sister network. And we'll be talking about probably Black Panther premiere, and I'll show you some pictures that just make me all jelly for everybody that was able to go to that, and all other things Marvel and nerdy and fun and positive. So until then, we hope to see you next week. Johnny LaQuasto should be back from Argentina then, so it'll be the three of us and perhaps a special guest. We don't know yet. We'll see how that works out. We'll find that out. So until then, we will see you. So have a good one.
Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.